Come on up, choir. We have the Wild Sports Book that we're singing out of. Oh, yes. There we go. A 37, not 137,
37. No, 37. Zion's more. I like your sweater, Jen. I like it. Upside down.
Abby has one. Continue singing number 8, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, God of Glory, Lord of Love, number 8 in our blue hymn book, also known as Ode to Joy by Beethoven. It's a very familiar classical tune, and it's a hymn written by, Beethoven wrote the music, Henry Van Dyke put words to the music, 1800s or 1900s. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Let's all stand together as we sing this song.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
When we get saved, God is becomes our Heavenly Father. Our Father before we were saved was the devil, but now He translated us out of the devil's kingdom into the kingdom of His dear Son. So now we have God as our Father, Christ as our brother, and all who live in love are thine. You say, well, that sounds very nebulous, but that's actually 1 John. John says that he who abides in Him loves one another. So only those who are in Christ can truly know true love through Christ. And so what are you thankful for as we think on God and His wonderful, how we can adore Him and be joyful? What are you thankful to God for this morning? Who'll be first? Yes, Joe.
Thankful that God brought me here to worship with all my brothers and sisters here.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? What are you thankful to God for about Himself? Yes, Eric?
I thank God for being here and your family okay. And everybody here.
Amen. James?
I'm glad I'm here with all my friends.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Jimmy?
I'm happy because our church family keeps on growing.
Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. Nicole.
Thankful for being here.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? What are you thankful to God about? We're seeing these wonderful, beautiful statements about God and all true statements of Him and His love for us and His joy of giving and all these things. What are you thankful to God for this morning about Himself? Yes.
Well, I'm thankful for His saving grace, His saving power that keeps us safe each moment of every day.
Amen. Amen. Carol.
He gives peace in the midst of the storm.
Amen. Takes us through the trials of life, and we don't always know what's going to happen, but He does carry us through as the footprints on the sand. He literally carries us. Jen.
His love.
Amen.
How He loves us, and He's with us always.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Yes, I want to say thank you, God, for His mercy, for His glory, for His word,
Amen.
For His Son Jesus, He sent into shedding blood for us.
Mm.
Now we can say thank you, God, for all righteousness. We want to say thank you, God, for all our life, all the stuff that has been done for us.
Amen.
We have to say thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for that.
Amen. 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 All right, let us sing that fourth verse.
Mortal, join the mighty chorus with the morning star began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward. Victors in the
closer to being in God's presence this week than we were last week. Realize that? We're getting closer and closer to the Son of God and being in His presence. Let us bow together in prayer as we worship Him, and let us pray for our missionaries, the Kellers, the Bruners, and the Larges, as they preach the gospel in the foreign field and are an extension of our church, and let us pray for one another. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day you provided for us. Scripture tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad therein. Father, we realize that we come to you this morning that there are some of us that maybe didn't have this good sleep last night. Some of us maybe our relatives were taken away, or maybe they were in the hospital or go through much down here on this earth. But you still said that this is the day you made and we should rejoice and be glad therein.
Amen.
Not because of our affliction, but in spite of the Lord, we know.
Amen.
You do it all things well, for the scripture says all things do work together for the good. For those that love thee and those that are called according to your purpose, or whom you pre-know, you predestined to be conformed to your will, Lord.
Amen.
So whatever you're doing down here is conforming us to your will. We might not like it sometimes, we might not agree with us sometimes, but Father, we know that in the end, you do it all things well.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for this church, thank you for Pastor Rice and his family. Thank you for all that are here this morning, those that get taken on the way, we thank you for them. Those that could not be for reasons we do not understand, Lord, and even they that I don't understand, Lord, we thank you for them anyway. Thank you, Father, for this pastor, the missionaries that this church supports, Lord. We pray that in the future we can support them more. We pray for the work that they're doing, that you continue to equip them with the tools they need to get the job done. Thank you, Father, for those that sacrifice and pay a great price to get the gospel to other parts of the world. God, even give their lives, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for them. Help them to realize, Lord, that they did not already know that they will be rewarded in the end. Because we're not looking for the reward down here, but we're looking for the reward in the end, Lord, when you take us to be with you. We pray for the sick and shut in this morning, Lord. We thank you, Brother Roy, this morning, Lord. Continue to be with them. For the Teresa and her family, as they are away, Lord. We pray that they may have safe passage, Lord, bring them back safely. We pray, Father, for Sister Gillis, Lord, continue to be with her and her body, that's on a new job, Lord. We pray, Father, for those that are going through things. We pray especially for Sister Pat, Lord, continue to be with her and deal with her body, Lord, and those that are only sick, we pray for them. Pray for the message this morning, Lord, that you might be in the message, that we may all get something from it that we can use in our lives, to not only to build our life, but to reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. We love you. We go in your name, because we know it's all things well. Lord, God's people say
it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful. Let us turn back to our hymn book 291. We're missing Trisha and Evan this morning. They are down in North Carolina with her son Eric, one of our former members of the church, and he got married here in our church back in 2007, I believe, 2006? I think 2006, the summer of 06. So they have three children now, so very grateful that she gets to see them. 291, as we continue our worshiping of the Lord, higher ground. We should be pressing on to higher ground every day in the Lord.
I'm pressing on the upward way to heights I'm gaining.
and girls. Sometimes press us and mold us and put those trials in our lives, but we're thankful for the end product, that we're getting a little more closer to Him each day. And so let us pray for one another as we go through our trials and tribulations. We ask Brother John to come at this time as we have our scripture reading, Psalm 65 and Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. And he also has he and Wellington have a certificate to present this morning as well.
Open our Bibles to Psalm 65.
Yep. And we'll stand for that reading when you get there. We'll read this responsibly. I'll start out. Okay. To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Now, here's prayer. Unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall not be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple.
By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. O God, our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea.
Set us fast the mountains, being girded with power,
which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people.
They also that dwell in the uttermost parts praise thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice.
Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it.
Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly.
Thou settlest the furrows thereof.
Thou makest it soft with showers.
Thou blessest the spring rain thereof.
Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness.
They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice.
The pastures are together. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. And we'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. At verses 5 through 8. Again, we'll read this one responsively, and the last one we'll read together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. May God bless the reading of his word. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your word today, for us being able to open up your Bible in our own tongue, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we'd like to ask Mr. Hodge to come on up with me. We have a very special occasion we'd like to mark. If we all know, most of us know my cousin Howard for a number of years now. Howard, would you come forward, please? Come up here.
The whole New Testament, and if you have done it, or if you haven't done it yet, or you're almost there, let me know, because we want to give you a certificate as well. Tonight we have Dylan. When Dylan comes, he's with his grandparents this morning. We're going to give him a certificate from Beams. It's those Bible reading calendars that are on the back table. We sent his in. He read the whole Bible through, and so they sent this really nice certificate. So we'll present that to him tonight for reading the whole Bible through. So if you have done either of those, let us know so we can present you a certificate. You say, well, what does that do? Well, number one, it puts the emphasis on reading the Bible. That's so important. That's how we hear from God every day. Number two, it encourages the brethren. That as you're reading through the whole Bible and the whole New Testament and the whole Old Testament, you're encouraging someone else to keep going and to finish that up, maybe for the first time. And even if it's not your first time, we want to mark your achievement of reading the whole New Testament or the whole Bible. So you let us know when you have that completed. So there's many things that are great that happen. All right, just by way of announcements, we want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin this morning? We'll be happy to get one to you. All right, keep your hands up, and our ushers and junior ushers will be happy to get one to you. Says, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5. Right along, what are the odds that happened? The day we read that in the Proverbs, the day it's on our bulletin. The Lord does nice things for that, like that sometimes. Why? To confirm a truth in our hearts. Like, you know, we're praying about something, I'm praying about something in my life, and then sure enough, that same morning I read a verse in Scripture that goes right along with what's happening in my life. Well, the Lord wants to do that. So the more we read His Word and pray, the more we'll have confirmation of His will. Perhaps going through a trial, a tribulation, just trust in the Lord. So that's good confirmations from the Scriptures. Just by way of announcements, good to have some visitors with us this morning. We're glad that you are here visiting with us. And please come back again and continue visiting with us. It's good to have our friend. What's your name again?
Karen.
Welcome back, Karen. Good to have you with us. And you're from what city?
Meadow.
That's right. Yes. Last Sunday, and you were there with your dad, right?
Right.
Mr. Coppy.
Right. Arthur.
Arthur Coppy. So praise the Lord for Arthur. He was the one I shared that last Sunday night at church. I shared how he said, "Hey, go tell others about the Lord. You have other people that need you. Tell them about Jesus. You know, I'm okay. You know, I know the Lord." So we praise the Lord for Brother Coppy and Brother Arthur for his testimony. It's good to have Karen with us today, his daughter. And we hope that you enjoy the visit here with us. And we have a visitor's card for you to fill out. Did you get one of those as yet? No? Okay, John, do you mind giving Karen a visitor's card to fill out, if you wouldn't mind? And then next week, we have a big day coming up. Next Sunday, we have Safety Recognition Day. I already have lined up one of our own, our Atlantic City firefighter, Gino. He's coming next week, and he's bringing his uniform as well. And so we're trying to get as many police, fire, and EMTs here next Sunday. Why? Because we have very nice, special verses that are all framed in gold. It's bigger than this. And a nice verse of John 3:16. What better safety that they can have than if they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so we are inviting as many as possible to come to get that nice, beautiful gift from our church. And most importantly, so that they can be blessed and we can encourage them as they do their very, sometimes very taxing job of being there for the public that needs them in very dire emergencies at times. We read just about every day in the paper of a police officer dying in the line of fire, or a firefighter dying in a burning building, or a EMT perhaps in a very dangerous situation as well, going through going in the ambulances. So we need to encourage them in their line of work, and also let them know we're praying for them, and that they can know the Lord. So invite them. If we have some more on the back table, John, do we have any more of those letters from the church? Okay. Does anyone need a letter from the church, basically to invite any police, fire, or EMTs that you know? We have passed out many, but we want to get any last ones. Just tell the usher how many letters you need, based on how many police or firefighters you know, and or EMTs, and we can invite them. So if you need one of those, just keep your hand up, and one of our ushers will come around and get one to you. Okay. All right. Great. Anyone else need any of those letters to invite? Okay, so come on out next Sunday. We have need next Sunday as well. We need some food items because we're having a light finger luncheon of finger food such as sandwiches. John, do you mind bringing that as well up here so we can see what we need and what we have already? We need sandwiches cut into fours, potato salad, macaroni salad, desserts, and drinks. And was there anything else, Carol, that we needed with this one?
Chips,
that's right, chips. Okay, so please sign below, attend to indicate food items you're bringing. Okay, so far we have deviled eggs, potato salad, some pasta salad, cheese and crackers, then we have some soda and cookies in a box. Okay, so we need more finger sandwiches. Who can help make us some sandwiches for next week? Okay, Carol? Alright. Who else? Make some sandwiches. What kind of sandwiches can they make?
Any kind they'd like. Tuna salad, egg salad,
ham and cheese.
Ham and cheese. Yeah, anything.
Italian,
yeah.
Anything like that. Okay.
Sandwiches.
Okay, sandwiches. Thank you, Jen. Anyone else? You want to help with some sandwiches next week for the luncheon? And basically, we're going to have the whole side open over there. So basically taking the doors out that divide the classroom from the fellowship hall, and then just putting up chairs on the edges of the room. So that way, as police, fire, EMTs come through, they can just grab some food, and then we can go ahead and meet them. And by all means, it's for us as well. So we don't want to, you know, just feed them and expect us to go hungry for a half hour, hour as we're talking to them. That's not going to work. So it's going to be needed for us as well. So we'll make some sandwiches as well. I'm going to put our name on there. Who else can sign up for? We still need potato salad, any more pasta salad, and we still need some sandwiches. So anyone else can make anything for this? Okay, Nicole. All right, Nicole. All right. Hold on. Okay. And pray about it. What you would like to bring next week for our luncheon? We're not, you know, it's not going to be a full, you know, five-course meal, but it'll be something light that we can just get to know them better, have some socialization, and get to meet them. And you never know how if you reach out to someone and be a blessing to them, how they in return, how the Lord will help them to meet your needs. Yes. Okay, there's more copies. So if you need a letter for police, fire, EMTs, invitation, just keep your hands up. Here, Miss Messiah, Brother Harry needs some over there. All right, Ed, just by way of other announcements, checking the bulletin. Tonight we are starting practice for our Easter program. We're going to listen through some of the new songs that we have for our Easter program. Here, you can keep them on the back table there. Thank you. And we're going to start listening through the new Easter songs tonight in choir practice at 6:15. So, and also get ready for our song for next week for the choir. And then we have a brief ushers and greeters meeting today. If you are a lady or a man or a young lady, even teens can help do this as well, or a young man, we need ushers to help with the offering and also help people get to their seats. Ushers also help with getting the visitors' cards out. And then greeters. Greeters help give people bulletins. And any ladies can do that job to help welcome new people as they come in, help them look for seats. It's going to be pretty packed next week, so if we can all sit instead of, you know, like we usually do, spaced out comfortably, we might have to sit a little more in our, you know, closer together just so we can fit everyone in. That will be a good problem to have. So let us make sure all of our church members and attendees, if we can sit closer to the front, like in the first five rows, that will then help the visitors to then be able to come in and find a seat where they need to find a seat. Okay, so if we can aim to do that next week. Okay, so please stay with us. Any ladies and men who would like to be ushers and greeters, brief meeting right after the service. It'll be about 10 minutes, and a way that you can serve the Lord and reap blessings. I love serving the Lord because the Lord gives me much more than I ever give Him. And so let us serve the Lord and get the joy and the blessings in our own personal lives. So stay right after church. Then this Thursday night we finished the first half of the church of organizing. There's just some things left to do to organize, to get ready for next week, just getting the church in order. So if you can come out this Thursday night, we're going to have some food to snack on as we organize the different rooms, get it all ready for the Lord and for His purposes here. So if you can set aside Thursday night for 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half, 7 to 8:30 or 7 to 9, whatever you can do, this Thursday night, that we can get His house in order, the Lord will then help you get your house in order. He'll help you get the things that you need done at home, and He'll help you get the other things done. Why? Because God is the great giver, and He gives back to us more than we can ever give to Him. So let us do that for Him. Then on the back page, Master Clubs, the kids are getting ready for the regionals competition, the end of the month, March 30th. Then Dr. Gilmore and his young evangelist friend are coming March 24th through the 28th. So that's coming after the safety day. We'll be giving a lot more details about the evangelistic meetings. And then we are going out this Saturday at 3 p.m. Are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned this morning? Okay, at this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear gracious Father, we come before You. We thank You for this opportunity to be able to give to You. As Your word tells us that You love a cheerful giver, Lord. We know that these funds that will be blessed to use for the ministry of Your work, Lord, to provide for the missionaries, to provide for the functions of this local church, Father.
Amen.
In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let us turn back in our hymn books as we continue worshiping the Lord this morning to Majesty Hymn Book 426, the red hymn book there in front of you. 426. Abba, Father. The Lord tells us to call Him Daddy. As we go through the trials of life and tribulations, He wants to be as close to us as a little child is with his daddy. 426. Let's all stand together as we sing this song.
Father,
you've ever sung that one? Okay, quite a few. A wonderful reminder that the trials in life, we're not alone. That the Lord goes right there with us and He carries us through. If we'll just look to Him, pray to Him, say, Lord, help me, I need You. And He will. Whatever we're going through, whether it be a health problem or condition or someone else in our family that's going through it, the Lord will help bring us through, or maybe persecution, whatever it is. This time we'll dismiss our young people to go for their special time, those sixth grade and younger, to go to youth church and toddler church and nursery at this time. The rest of us, let's turn our Bibles. John chapter 4, we're looking at true worship, and the devil's got religion as well. What he's trying to do, and what is the true worship of God? Well, John chapter 4, God, Jesus brings out what is true worship in the with the woman at the well. He helps her understand what true worship is, and thereby, by extension, helps all of us. In your Bibles, John 4 and verse 21, John 4 and verse 21, during the week, the last couple weeks, I've been making 5-minute videos on how to grow in the Christian life by taking the doctrines from our statement of faith and just reading through those statements and then some of the verses that go along with them to help people in the community understand what the Bible says about, the number one, the Bible, and number two, about the true God. And so far we've put them on our Facebook page, Northfield Baptist Church Facebook page, as well as our website, and we have a YouTube page as well, Northfield Baptist Church YouTube page. And so it's a great way to get to people in the community. Many people won't darken the door of a church, but they want to grow. They want to learn about God. And so it's good. The internet is of course a great evil, but it also has great potential for good. And for people who are really searching. There are so many young people and millennials who are searching for God and wondering, why do I exist? And so this is a great way that our church can help them by, along with our sermons going on the internet, the audio is going on there, and the video. Very soon, we're putting that out online. Well, this is another way, by these little 5-minute videos that will help capture attention for learning and growing in the Lord and helping people get saved. We have a 5-minute video on how to get to heaven from where you live. And so it gives the gospel message. I gave the gospel message using a big picture of the cross and hell. Basically, there's one way to heaven, and it's a beautiful picture, helps illustrate the Romans road. So those are some things that we're doing to reach out to our community and help them to know the truth. John 4, verse 21, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you have woken us up. You've gotten us on our way, that you brought us to church. We pray that you would help us to put aside and cast aside any distractions from this week, anyone that we're concerned about, Lord, that we would put them in your hands so that you could take care of them, so that we can learn and grow from your word. We know that you do that very well, that you take care of our loved ones while we spend time at your feet. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us this morning from the fresh, warm bread of your word, that you would give us the message that you need for us to grow in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man. And Lord, we pray that you would help fill me with thy spirit, that I may speak forth exactly what you want me to speak this morning. And that you'd help each one of us as Christians to be spirit-filled Christians, that we'd be doers of the word and not hearers only. We pray you'd give us a blessing. We thank you for your son, Jesus, dying on the cross for our sin. We pray if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. John 4, verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Okay, so here we have a lot of talk about worship today, a lot of bantering about what worship is, and but a lot of it is what the devil is confusing even Christians about. He's confusing Christians about what true worship is, and he's especially confusing the unsaved about what true worship is of the one true God. And so we see, what is worship really? Well, here we see Jesus boils it all down in one purpose statement. He says, "The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth." We could boil it all down to that one purpose statement. And so we need to recognize that that is our job as believers. Our main focus and our main job is not what we want to do in life and how we want to get out of life what we want. That would be a man-centered purpose for living, you know, what we want out of life. And unfortunately, many churches are now adopting that as well. They're saying, well, what do people want out of church? Let's take a poll. You know, Rick Warren, he wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Church. He says, go out and, you know, the brother, Pastor Logan highlighted this, or somebody did recently, go out in the community, take a poll of all the people in the town and ask them, what are you looking for in a church? And then give it to them. Then produce that. Well, that would be a man-centered approach to God. Okay, what does man need? What does man want? Let's give man what he wants. That would be a man-centered approach. Is that really what Jesus is talking about here when he says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth? The answer is no. You know, we don't come to church for what we want out of church. You know, that's totally opposite to what church is about. We come to church to give God our praise and thanksgiving for what He has already done for us, securing our salvation, you know, giving us life, breath, and health, and all the things that we want to praise Him for. And so we see that a true purpose for living is doxological. So, okay, if we remember that big word, doxological. We need to have a doxological purpose for life. And it just comes from the I think it's doxa in Greek. Doxa means glory. Logical means that's the logical progression of why we're doing what we're doing. We need to have a doxological purpose for living. Okay, we need to bring glory to God. Okay, then life makes sense when we bring glory to God. Unfortunately, anthropological purpose is unfortunately what many Christians have. They used to have a doxological purpose. They used to be, yes, it's all about God. It's all about lifting up Christ, bringing glory to God the Father through the proper worship, through the Holy Spirit. Used to be doxological, but now, unfortunately, has morphed into an anthropologic. And anthropo is the, once again, another Greek word for what? Man, anthropos, man. Okay, so unfortunately, churches are changing, and they're falling by the wayside every day. Why? Because they are trying to meet the felt needs of the community while God is now, and His glory is taking the back seat. And so they're crossing lines that they never thought they'd cross before. Why? Because they're missing Jesus' purpose statement. Are they sincere? Yeah, I believe there's a lot of sincere churches that are, you know, opening up all around us, and they're saying, okay, let's give the music that they want to listen to, and they give us pulsing rhythms and all these things, and everyone's getting into the feelings of it. You know, there's a satirical articles that are being written. You know, I was so in touch with my emotions, I've never felt closer to myself than I did this week when I was in church, waving and swaying with the emotions and feelings that I was feeling. Well, is that really what God wants us to do? They think, those Christians actually think that they're getting closer to God with their feelings, but what's actually happening is their body is getting more in tune with their own feelings. That's all that's happening. And so it's, why? Because it's anthropological. My felt needs. I want my felt needs met. But here we see our felt needs should take a back seat to God and His glory. Okay, and that's when true worship happens. Okay, so let us go to the next passage of Scripture. Psalm 147, verse 5. Psalm 147, verse 5. The Psalms give a great study of true worship. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Okay, let's read it together. Very short verse. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Okay, that here we see our whole job is to say, great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He is so wonderful. He is so glorious. He is so true, and He is so great. He has all power in all the world. He is omnipotent. Okay, we should highlight His attributes every week in church. We should be praising Him for who He is, His character, His attributes. And that is true worship of God when we see Him for who He is and us for who we really are. And that is sinners saved by grace. Psalms 83:18. Let's go over that one. Psalms 83. And verse 18. Psalms 83 and verse 18. Psalms 83 verse 18. Let's read that one together as well. That men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Here we see God gives His name, Jehovah. Yehovah, if you look in the Hebrew, okay, Yehovah, it means Lord. Lord, the self-existent One. He doesn't need anyone else to exist. He doesn't need anyone else to help Him out. He doesn't need us to help Him out. He doesn't need us to, well, if we don't show up for church this week, or if we don't show up and be good Christians, He's going to all of a sudden, you know, collapse. No, He is the eternal, self-existent One. He is the I am that I am. He is who we should worship. He made heaven and earth. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus made heaven and earth, whose name is secret in the Old Testament. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God the Holy Spirit, who moved upon the face of the waters, Genesis 1-2. God the Holy Spirit. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because He is alone is worthy to be praised. Okay, let's go over to Hebrews 3-4. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Some purpose state. All going along with the purpose statement that Jesus said in John 4. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. God the Father is seeking worshipers to worship Him. Not worshipers just to sing a few songs and call that worship. Unfortunately, a lot of churches as well, they say, well, worship is the first half of the service. Now it's encroaching on the first three quarters of the service. Why? The song service is getting longer and longer in a lot of these contemporary churches. Why? Why are they doing that? Well, because they believe that's true worship is the music and the rowdy, ramped up music. And that's what worship is. And then there's a little, you know, a smaller message at the end that's very, you know, non-confrontational and very, you know, at times generic, you know, meeting whatever the felt needs are of the congregation. And that's the church service. But here we see, is that really what Scripture says is worship? Hebrews 3 and verse 4 says, For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Okay, true worship is recognizing God for who he is. That he is so great, so glorious, so loving, so true, so merciful, so gracious, so just, and as well, so a God of judgment as well. That he is all of his characteristics and all of his attributes, and that he is alone is revelation. Let's go to Revelation 4 and verse 7. Revelation 4 and verse 8, we see more about his character that helps us to worship him. Revelation 4 and verse 8. Revelation 4 verse 8, let us read it together. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. Then let's go to verse 11 as well. Or let's go to verses 9 and 10 as well. Let's read those. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. One of the foremost attributes of God that comes out in every book of the Bible. Does anybody know what God's foremost attribute is that comes out from Genesis to Revelation? As man is created perfect and then sins and then has to be confronted by God. And then from then on all through Scripture, what is perhaps the one attribute that keeps coming out over and over and over again that is the foremost attribute of God? Love, okay. That's a thought. He created all things, good. His holiness, okay. His love is right under that. You know, his love is, you know, because he is holy, he then has loved us and made provision by sending his son. But first and foremost, as we get a glimpse of God, that every day he created the heaven, you know, in the 6 days of creation, everything he made was good. Everything he made was good. And it was perfect. And it was exactly what he wanted it to be. And why? He's helping us get a glimpse of his holiness. If we will lift him up high and just get a glimpse of his glory and his holiness, guess what? Then we as Christians will then live properly as we should. Okay, so that is really, as I read through the Bible, I try to read through the Bible every year. And as you know, I'm in, let's see, I just finished Jonah, I'm in Micah. And as, you know, reading through all the minor prophets, you know, it's time after time of this nation is going to get judged because of the way they have dealt with God's people or the way they have dealt with God himself. And now there's judgment coming, you know, and the other major prophets. And so if you're getting, I like reading through the whole Bible in a year, about three chapters a day, or you can read it every 2 years if you read about two chapters a day. And why? What does that do? It helps get a full glimpse of who God is. And keep it fresh in our mind. Keep it fresh. You know, I was just talking with a guy at the VA clinic on last Friday morning. He said he just sits, he's retired now. He says, I just sit on my porch. And I'll just go through whole books at a time. Just sit on my porch. I'll just, you know, I'll go through 40 chapters. You know, just sitting on the porch. Why? Because he wants to get a glimpse of who God is. He loves his Bible. He loves to be a Berean and read his Bible. And so that's what we need. We need to exhort and challenge one another to read more of God's Word, not less. you know. The world says, here's a verse for the day, you know. Just have a verse for the day. Be happy with your verse for the day. No, as Christians, we should say, wait, a verse is good. And if that's all I had, great, you know. But think about the Christians that are in prison in other countries. You know, what would they do for a page of Scripture? Or a whole Bible? What would they do for it? They would do anything for it. We watched a video, Brother John, maybe if you can pull that up, about that Philippine man who, he was in South Korea. And it shares his testimony of his imprisonment there in one of those Eastern Asian nations and what he would do for a Bible. And that's what we need to be reminded of, that we have so much given to us as believers. And so we need to worship God truly in spirit and in truth by reading His Word, praying, and talking with Him. Because that is true worship. True worship happens every day. As it says, Jesus said, the Father is seeking such. He's seeking worshipers to worship Him. And he's seeking us. So if we will just do our part and seek Him back and worship Him back, then you know what happens with our life? It all starts falling right into place. This starts ironing out. That interpersonal problem I had with so-and-so starts ironing out. This gets better. Why? Because the more we lift up God and Christ in our life, the more we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct us, the more we'll have victory. John, if you want to put that on, I think that would be a... No, it's from that CD there. Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. Read the back there, and I'll tell you what. No, it's a man. Yes, that's him. Yeah, if we could put that on. I think that it would help us understand a little bit more of what we're talking about. Then now we're just in a few minutes while John's getting that ready. What is Satan's false worship? What is going on today? Well, idolatry. The word idolatry comes from the Greek word idolatria. Contains two parts. Eidolon connotes a phantom or an image. Specifically, eidolon means knowing a god through use of an image or a material symbol. And we see idolatry is meaning service or worship rendered to deity. Putting it all together, idolatry is service or worship of a deity through use of an image. Idolatry took two forms in ancient times, the worship of false gods through images or the worship of God through images. And perhaps some of us came from a country that was more idolatrous, that had a lot of idols. Well, one might assume that idolatry springs merely from depraved or overactive imaginations. The Bible shows, however, that the root of idolatrous worship is demonic activity. The Old Testament makes this abundantly clear. Idolatry was often interconnected with the occult. In 2 Kings 23:24 and 2 Chronicles 33, idolatry is mentioned alongside the occult practices of human sacrifices, mediumship, sorcery, and astrology. Other Old Testament passages establish an even closer link between demons and idolatry. Deuteronomy 32:17 states that they sacrificed unto devils and not to God, to gods whom they knew not. The Hebrew term here used for devils referred to protecting spirits or demons. The same thought is found in Psalm 106:36, where the text states that human sacrifices dedicated to idols were really sacrifices dedicated to demons. Okay, so what's Satan trying to do? He's trying to get people to be religious without worshiping the one true God who made heaven and earth. Without worshiping God. And so what's he doing? He's putting in every pagans or in every civilization, not even pagan, but third world to first world, you know, those who are economically advanced to those who are not as economically advanced, he's trying to make people worship idols or images. And he's trying to always put before us someone else to worship besides the one true God, whether it be sports stars, whether it be music stars or movie stars or inanimate objects. The devil is trying to seduce people to worship what he wants them to worship. Here we go. Yeah, you go ahead and put it on, John. I think this will help us to embrace our Bible that much more. This is Northern Laos.
Telling others about Jesus.
Juni, to sign in on. Juni.
I don't know why they didn't shoot me. The interrogations are the only time I am out of solitary. I am losing hope and fear I have been forgotten. I recite Bible verses to myself, but the words are getting harder and harder to remember. I can handle the torture, the starvation, but I desperately need my Bible. Every day I pray over and over for God to give me a Bible. Now I have my chance. The interrogations have ended, and the guards trust me to go into the jungle to gather firewood. Working as fast as I can, I will collect 2 days' worth of firewood. I'll bring one bundle back. I leave the second bundle in the woods. This is what I need to do. It is very risky, but God is answering my prayer. I will risk everything to have a Bible. I don't want to leave my wife. But I have to, or she will be in danger. Leaving her is so hard.
He's taking extra Bibles and putting them where he can get them next time.
God has answered my prayer. I have a Bible. But I must be careful. They found my Bible, but I would not give up. I will bring in more Bibles. I will read God's word every chance I get. Then the letters came. Letters from me. Letters from Christians all over the world. God not only answered my prayer for a Bible, He let me know I am not forgotten.
Because
โออ่านพุ่มพระคัมภีร์เลยพระเจ้านู่นเรียมโอเนี่ยก็สู้สู้สู้สู้สู้แล้วก็ขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณอันนับพี่น้องทั่วโลกที่อธิษฐานอ้อนวอนเพื่อโอและก็มู่คู่ที่น้องยาตะคุกและก็ขอบคุณพระเจ้าขอบคุณพี่น้องทั่วโลก
on. So we need to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters like Boone who are right now being persecuted and in prison. Why? Just for reading the Bible. Just for witnessing, telling other people about Jesus. In Somalia, Justine put on there, she tried to put on there one country a day to pray for, or one country a week. It's from Voice of the Martyrs, persecuted countries. Somalia in Africa, it was started in 94, and their nation is so war-torn, that's all they ever know is war. War, always fighting, always battles, always trying to fight these groups over here. And to be a Christian in Muslim Somalia is a death sentence. Because not only will the government find you out, but your family will find you out. And they'll often be the ones to kill you, as your own family members. And so we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters all over the world. And we need to do our job here in the United States of America, and that is loving and reading our Bible and spreading it out. Spreading it to others so that they can come to know the Lord as well. And praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters. And so we see here that the devil is trying to do his work of trying to get people to worship inanimate objects, idols, whatever else, to keep them in bondage. But perhaps his greatest tool is organized religion. He's trying to keep people in bondage through churches that don't preach and teach the Word of God. Where, you know, they put this, they close this. You know, the Bible's not an open book in those churches. What's an open book in their church? Well, it's some prayer book. Or some common book of prayer. Or some liturgy. Some little booklet they have to read through every day. Well, that's keeping them blinded to praying to dead people, praying to Mary, praying to other people that are not God. And so Satan is trying to do his worst to spread false doctrine and idolatry and organized religion without Christ. And so we, as true worshipers of God, we don't have that. We are not anthropological. We are not man-based. And if perhaps we were this morning, we're not now, right? That we are putting God first in our life and doing what He wants in our church. And so if we worship Him high and lifted up, holy, 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 then everything else will fall into place. And we won't have to worry about encroachments of this false doctrine and that false doctrine. Unfortunately, charismatic and Pentecostal doctrines are coming into many churches, all the denominations, they're getting infiltrated with Pentecostal charismatic doctrines. Why? Speaking in tongues, spirit, you know, being slain in the spirit, where somebody pushes you over, or ecstatic utterances, or people laying on the floor and jerking and laughings and all these crazy things. You say, why? Why would they have that come in their church? Well, it's coming in through the music. Who's writing the music for all these churches? It's charismatic Pentecostals who believe in that the Bible is not the only source of God. God and His authority. That He's still speaking today. He's still giving doctrines today. He's still giving this and that and the other signs and wonders and things. And apostles are still for today and other things. And we see, in 1 Corinthians 13 that those things, they were for the New Testament period. It was important that signs and tongues were there. Why? To authenticate Jesus' church. And His churches, as the church in Jerusalem, the tongues are there for a sign, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14, to the Jews, so that they could see, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. But today, they're seeking after these things, and confusion is coming into the churches. So here we see the Word of God sets us free from all that. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, future knowledge, it shall vanish away. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Okay? So even Paul said, You know, Epaphroditus, his fellow servant, was sick unto death, and Paul couldn't even lay hands on him and heal him. He was an apostle, but that was coming because, why? Because the signs and wonders were coming to a close as the nearer they got to Revelation. When John penned Revelation, that was when the signs and wonders for the apostolic period, when they died, the apostles died, it wasn't needed anymore. Why? Because Jesus' church had already been authenticated, and the scriptures were being passed around to all the different churches. So unfortunately, false doctrines are coming in through the music. False doctrines are coming in all different ways. And so we have to be vigilant. We're wondering why the world is going so crazy today. Well, it's because Christians are not seeing God in His glory. And worshiping, having a fear of God and a reverence for God and His holiness. And instead, they're bringing God whatever they want to bring Him. We need to get back to revival. Revival is doxological worship. That's when revivals happened, when Christians fell on their knees before God and said, God, we have sinned. We are humbling ourselves. We are seeking Your face. We are praying. We are turning from our wicked ways, and we are asking You to heal our land again. And sure enough, God had answered that prayer. And God can still send another revival in these church age days that we're living. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close this service this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. A little bit more serious of a message this morning, but we see the importance of a doxological worship purpose. Perhaps you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I know Jesus as my Savior. If I've ever asked Him to save me from my sins, if that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there, receded. All right. If, as a Christian, you say, Pastor, well, I'm already saved. I already know the Lord is my Savior, but I realize I need to have a reverential view of God and His holiness so that I can properly worship Him in spirit and in truth through His Word and through all the wonderful things that He has in store for me in my life as I put Him first. If that's you, just slip up your hand. You say, Pastor, I want to renew my purpose to put God first in my life, as to worship Him supremely. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness, for Your grace, Your mercy in our lives, Lord, that You have given us another week. We thank You, O God, that You are great and You are sovereign, and that Your purposes are so much higher. Your ways are so much higher than our ways, and Your thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. Lord, and You have such great thoughts toward us, that to give us that expected end that we desire, Lord, that blessed, fruitful life, and then one day to be ushered into Your presence. But Lord, we pray that You'd help us do our part, to worship You in spirit and in truth every day, so that You can open doors where they seem to be closed, so You can open hearts where they seem to be closed, so that You can help us love and win our neighbors, relatives, and friends to You, Lord, through our obedience to worshiping You truly as You want us to. We pray You just bless now this time of communion table. In Jesus' name, amen. This time we'll have our deacons come as we close the service with communion, with the Lord's Supper. First Corinthians chapter 11 is where we read of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And starting in verse 23, he gave Paul this ordinance after, of course, the first ordinance of the local church, which is baptism. Jesus gave that one in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The first command was after believers are saved, then they are to be baptized. The second command Jesus gave is here through the Lord's through the Last Supper. He showed the pattern for remembering His shed blood and His broken body on the cross. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Okay, so here we see the purpose of communion. We call it communion because it's a way, another way to worship the Lord and to draw closer in our communion to Him. Communion means fellowship. And so communion, we want it to be sweet communion all through our lives. Well, but there's something that breaks our fellowship, and that is sin. Sin breaks fellowship with God. When we are selfish, when we do what we want, that breaks our fellowship with God. So we need communion. We need that close communion again, and it restored. And so here, God gave the pattern. Jesus gave the pattern for that regularly examining ourselves so we can have the communion restored. And so Jesus said, This is my body. Take, eat. This is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, My body, tomorrow I'm going to be put on that cross. My body's going to be broken. It's going to be broken open. My flesh is going to be broken open. None of his bones were broken, but his flesh was very broken. The crown of thorns pierced his scalp in such a way that it was just torn open. The lashings of the cat of nine tails broke open his back in such a way that his blood was just flowing out. And it says in Psalms, it says that it was furrows, like furrows in a field. You know how deep the farmer's furrows have to get, right? Because to put that seed in the ground. Well, that's the way that Jesus' back was bloodied and opened. And so his body truly was broken for us. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That the nails pierced and broke open his hands. The spear broke open his side. The nails pierced and broke open his feet. And the Romans, they knew what they were doing. They knew how to not break bones as well. The Roman executioners were very averse to where the bones were in the body. And they also were very averse in, you know, the cruelest ways to have people die. And so they knew exactly where his leg bones were, and they knew not to drive the nail through any bones. They knew not to drive the nails in his hands through his hand here, the hand proper in those days was from here to here, so all the way from the wrist on up. And so they put the nail not through here, or else his hand would just literally tear right off because there's no real bones of any substance here. And so they put it through the two bones of the radial bones, the ulna and the radius here, and they could go right through and keep the person on the cross. And so that's what they did with Jesus. So his body truly was broken open, and then as a result, his blood was shed. Why? So we could be forgiven of our sins. God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That we need our sins forgiven. We are a selfish and an obstinate and stubborn people, and we do our own thing. Why? Because we're born with a sin nature. So we need that continual cleansing every day through confessing our sins, because He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so, verse 26, For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. So that's the purpose of communion, is to remember the Lord's death. Verse 27, Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let him examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so here the second reason we observe communion is so we can examine ourselves before the Lord and make sure we are worthy to eat and drink. What's the problem? Verse 29, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, or with sin that's unconfessed, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Okay, so It's a time of examination. So that's why we have a time of silent prayer before communion. Why? So we can examine our own hearts. And if there is any sin in our life, that we can confess it and forsake it. And you say, well, what if I don't know what sins I've committed lately? Pray. That's where prayer comes in. Say, Lord, what sins have I committed lately? Is there anything between you and I? And sure enough, as you pray that prayer, the Lord will start bringing things to mind. And He will then He'll help us. Why? He wants us to go through this regular Lord's Supper table every month. That's what we do at the first Sunday of every month here at Northfield Baptist Church. So not too regularly, so it becomes a ritual every week. You know, some churches that are just organized religions that don't preach and teach salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, they just do it every week. Why? Because they want people to feel like they got something. And it's all about the feelings and the emotions and not about obedience. Here we see, no, we better not do it. Do it and not examine ourselves. And so it is a very important thing. So we examine ourselves. We do it once a month. And that, and if as you pray and confess your sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen. If we don't want to let go of a certain thing, God says it's better to not eat and drink than to eat and drink unworthily. And so let us examine our own hearts before the Lord so that we can partake this morning. Can I ask our men to come at this time? Can I ask Wellington to lead us in prayer as we thank the Lord for His broken body for us?
Dear God, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank You, Lord, for what He did when He left heaven's glory and stepped aside His own courage. And come to this earth, Lord, just to die on the cross for us, Lord, to shed His own blood, to allow His body to be broken. Human. Father, how we thank You for such a devotion and love for the human race. Father, we thank You, and may we bless this time as we take part. Help us to remember, Lord, that it's not just a drink, but it's not a crackers that we take. It's a reminder of what You have done for us. And Lord, we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. says in Luke 23, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And ask our men to come once again as we thank the Lord for his shed blood on the cross for us. John, would you lead us?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you and praise you for such a wonderful gift, the shedding of your Son's blood on that cross of Calvary. Make atonement for our sins. How precious that blood is, Lord. We know as your word says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, and life is in the blood. And we know that this is only symbolic of the blood that he shed. But we want to recognize it at this time that, you know, what your Son has done. Every time we come before this table, we should not come with hunger and thirst in our body, because we want to know that this is not for nourishment of our body, but for nourishment of our souls, Lord.
Amen.
We ask that you bless these elements at this time, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us all stand as we close this service with prayer, as Jesus did in the Last Supper. They sung in him and then went out. So we'll do the same pattern that Jesus did at the Last Supper. We'll pray, we'll sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, and then we'll leave. But we also just want to remind you, we do have an ushers and greeters meeting. If you are a lady or a gentleman would like to help next week serving, helping the firefighters, police, EMTs, and any other visitors we have, helping them next week. Please stay with us just for a brief meeting so we can just highlight a few things. Let us close in prayer at this time, and I'm going to ask Brother Bob, would you close us in prayer? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. You are dismissed, and the rest, any who want to be ushers and greeters, just stay right in here.